does it take? What will it take you for you to become financially successful? Does it mean that you're going to have to work a bunch of jobs? Are you going to have to go without certain things, lots of different things? Are you going to have to make a ton of sacrifices? Are you going to have to eat ramen for the rest of your life and never go on vacation and stop drinking coffee? Whew. For you, I don't know necessarily what the exact right answer is going to be, but I can tell you that, or I'm going to tell you about what has worked for large amounts of people. And like anything else, statistics never apply down to the individual, but across large groups, large numbers, and large groups of people, it's probably going to work out this way. So, what is required? What will be required of you to find financial security and then eventually financial success? And going without, I think, is going to be part of that process. But you're going to make that decision on your own. We have universal needs. All of us have universal needs which connect all of us, but we meet those needs through personal solutions. So, I might decide that the best way for me to invest is the stock market, and you might say that it's real estate or crypto or day trading, whatever it might be. My point is that there are universal truths to this, but there are individualistic means by which we get there. So, but the point of today is, will you have to go without? Do you have to go without? Must you go without in order to get the thing that you want? So that's what we're going to talk about. There's this great book written years ago at this point called Millionaire Next Door. And the authors became really curious as to what the behaviors, what the main drivers are behind people that go from not being millionaires to first generation millionaires. So people that were able to go from scratch, zero net worth, to over $1 million of actual net worth. And granted, that was 30 years ago. So today, that number is probably $10 million. So a deca millionaire, I think that that's what a 10, whatever, you get the idea there. What does that really take? But back then, the whole big takeaway for me was that people that are able to amass $1 million, not through inheritance or getting lucky, just through personal behavior, financial decision making, those people save 15 to 20% of everything that they earned. So there you go. If you can get in the habit of saving 20% of everything that you earn, you pretty much guarantee yourself becoming a millionaire, becoming financially secure and certainly financially successful. But by the very nature of saving 20% of what you are bringing in, you are going without. Because I'm sure that your current version would happily find uses for 20% of the money that you're earning. But you say, you know what? I'm willing to go without. I'm willing to forego comforts, nice things right now, because there's a larger desire or an equal desire, even smaller desire. If you were saving 50% and spending 50%, then it would be an equal desire. But that you're utilizing or spending 80% of what you're earning or bringing in and saving 20% says that you're preferencing today, but you have an eye certainly on the future. So you're saying there's a future version of me that will not be as ambitious nor energetic, or as energetic as this current version. And because of that, that older version of me, he's going to want to take it easy a little bit more. He might not even want to work at all. Maybe he only wants to work a couple hours a day, maybe one day a week. So I better be saving money for that person. So are you really foregoing it? Are you going without? Well, your current version is in service of helping your future version to be more comfortable. So it's an interesting thing. And then there's a couple more things there. So I want to get into what real wealth is, what financial security is, what financial success is, and then we'll back into how we actually get there. But just to frame the conversation a little bit more, there's two things. Number one is, if you are currently not where you want to be or on track to where you want to be with money, you want things to change. And whenever you want things to change, things have to change. If you desire change, a change is necessary. And oftentimes, that requires digging out of a hole. I've gotten myself in debt. Or simply, I haven't saved any money and I'm in my 30s. That's a hole because now, just to bring these two concepts together, money has time value. That simply means, in this context, the longer we wait to pursue our most important financial goals and objectives, the harder it becomes to reach. So if you start, if your parents started saving for you before you were even born, you're in perfect shape. If you started when you were 15, when you got your first job and your first paycheck, and you started paying yourself first and putting 20% of the money you earned away, you write your own ticket. If you go through your teens, your 20s, and into your 30s without doing that, well, you have dug yourself a hole because you have less time. So the best time to plant a tree and start saving money was 30 years ago. The next best time to plant a tree and start saving money is today. Okay? So there's that reality. So how do we get to the point of finding first financial security, then financial success, and then finally becoming a wealthy person? And again, the whole idea or question is, do I have to go without? And the answer is definitively yes. Anytime you want to improve your station in life, improve your situation, you can look at this one of two ways. You can say a sacrifice is going to be required or an investment is going to be required. You try to lose weight, well, you're going to need to start exercising or exercising more or exercising in a different way. And that can take the form of cardiovascular exercise and weight training, stuff like that. You can go do yoga or Pilates or start playing pickleball, whatever. But then there's also the dietary part of it that says you need to adjust the amount of calories that you are taking in and then determine how many calories am I burning? And there needs to be a deficit. I need to be burning more calories than I'm taking in if I wish to lose weight. So in this example, in that example, in that scenario, yeah, a sacrifice is required. And if you say, you know what, I'd really like to not have to work for the rest of my life. I'd really like to have financial security and then become financially successful. Well, then an investment is going to be required. And that can take both forms. You could take the form of, I'm going to go without because I'm not going to go out to eat for this year or this month. I'm going to go without and I'm going to sacrifice. And that will then allow me to take the money that I've saved and invest it into something that's beneficial for my financial for my financial future. Save up my emergency fund, save for the down payment on a home. I'm just putting money into my IRA or my 401k, or I'm just loading up on Bitcoin, whatever it might be. Doesn't matter to me. But the premise is the same. You want something to be different? Well, then something has to be different. If you desire change, then change is in fact necessary. And going without, I think without question, is going to be a through line for all of this. So none of this is easy. I think it's all difficult, which is why we have such a hard time doing it. If it were easy to be fit, to be financially secure and financially successful, then everybody would do it. But the fact that it's hard is evidenced by the fact that very few people are doing it. So many parallels between weight, your physical health, and financial health. If it were easy to be fit and eat well, then a lot of people would, but more than half of us are overweight. And the same is true about being in debt, being financially secure. We're just not doing very well, and I don't need to relitigate that. It all comes down to, or at least I'm giving you a lot of sort of bottom line kind of things, but this is all true. And what's true is we need to make the decision on what is really important to us. And for the and for today, it's I want to find financial security. Then I want to become financially successful. And finally, I want to become wealthy. So for financial security and for each one of these things, it's important that we define what that really means. Because if we don't have some kind of an intention or we're not beginning with some kind of an end in mind, then we'll never know if we actually arrived there because we never decided on something. So for me, I think that financial security simply means that I'm not in credit card debt, I'm not living paycheck to paycheck, and I'm currently saving and investing money. Okay? So that is our starting point. And if you are currently in credit card debt, living paycheck to paycheck, and you don't have two nickels to rub together, that's a very far away land. In order for you to move from one land to the next, that requires you're going to go without question. So we need to make good decisions on how we're allocating our most valuable resources, our MVRs, time, attention, energy, and money. These are valuable because they're scarce, and we need to make good decisions about how it is that we're allocating them. Thomas Sowell famously said, there's no solutions, there's only trade-offs. So when you're saying yes to one thing, you're saying no to everything else. But when you say no to everything, you are available to say yes to whatever it is that you want. And when it comes to those resources, we need to make good decisions because, again, they're finite. So when I give my time, I decide to watch Netflix this afternoon instead of doing anything else. That's what I've chosen to do. If I choose to do DoorDash while I'm eating Netflix and spend $30, well, I've just made the decision to allocate that money and not put it somewhere else. Now, I am not a monk. I'm not taking a vow of poverty. I don't expect you to either. But I'm crystal clear in what matters to me. I'm crystal clear in what I want, where I'm going. And when I know that, then I can execute. Then I can make tough decisions. Then I can go without certain things. But unless you're clear on what financial security means to you, like you're gonna have a hard time getting it. So that is a really, 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 really important thing. So finding out financial security, my steps to that are simple. It's get $1,000 saved up in an account that's separate from your everyday checking account. Next, I want you to start paying yourself first. So if your company has a 401k, enroll in it, even if it's at 1%. If they don't, open up an IRA, an individual retirement account. I don't care who you do it with. Go to Fidelity, go to Schwab. It doesn't matter to me. And then I want you to get 1 month's worth of your expenses saved. So you need to know your budget and your cash flow. So you need to know what your monthly expenses are. So save up that sum of money, however long that takes you. The next thing is I want you to get mad at your credit card debt and put all of your resources towards getting out of credit card debt. This could take you several years, but it's worth it. Then once you've done that, I want you to get to 2 months saved up, then three, then four, then five, and then six. I'm not wishy-washy about it. I think you should have 6 months worth of your expenses saved up in cash in a checking account or a savings account that's separate from your everyday checking account. This is money that shouldn't be invested. Once you've done that, then you have financial security. You have financial peace of mind. I think that you can define that or say that because you're no longer stressed the way that you were with money before. When you're in credit card debt, you're moving money around to try to make it all work, you're trying to figure out how to get your bills paid. That's extremely stressful. Financial anxiety is a real thing. It's terrible. Credit card debt's terrible. All of it's bad. But what you've done over the course of that year or several years is you've been paying yourself first the whole time. You're now out of credit card debt. You've been saving money. You've got 6 months worth of cash. So you've proven to yourself that you can stick to plans. You can execute. You can go without. You can decide, I'm going to override my short-term desire to consume either food or buy shit stuff or whatever. I'm going to override my short-term desire with my long-term desire. And that's going without. It's not going without forever because you're still going to be able to benefit from these assets that you're building up. And assets are peace of mind. That's an asset. Not having to worry about money is an asset. It has immense value. So all these things are true. So you've done a lot of good work there. The next thing is then it's on to financial success. And what does that mean? I mean, what does financial success look like to you? It could be really simple. It could be like, I can go out to eat whenever I want. And when I do go out to eat, I can order whatever I want. It means that we can go on vacation and we don't need to worry so much about overspending. We're not going to go on a crazy vacation or anything like that, but we can go and do nice things. I can have a nice car, I can use and have a nice house. I can do these things. So is that financial success? Well, it can be, but you just need to decide. You need to define what that really means to you and be really honest with yourself. So in order to do that, in order to maintain, that still means you have to go without. It still means you need to make good decisions about how it is you're allocating your most valuable resources. Because what got you to this place was making good decisions, and teaching and trusting yourself that I am capable of deciding to do something and then executing on this plan. So it doesn't mean we're going to throw all of that away just because we found financial security and we're doing well. Doesn't all of a sudden mean we're going to act like a drunken sailor and go blow all of our money. And I don't think that it will. But it's important that we're thoughtful of these things. So the next thing is then, what is financial success to me? What does that look like? How does that actually show up? And so long as I'm being thoughtful about that and I'm keeping my budget and I'm managing my cash flow and making decisions about and thinking intentionally about larger purchases, then I think that you're totally fine. Then the next step is how do I actually become wealthy? And then it's the same thing. It's defining and thinking about what wealth is to me, because certainly wealth to me is different than wealth to Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or somebody who's worth, you know, $100 million, which I certainly am not. But that doesn't mean that my definition of wealth is going to be different than those people's. But again, universal needs and personalized ways of meeting those needs. And this is as personal a decision as you can make. And why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't you think long and hard and deeply about what it really means to be wealthy? What does it mean to be wealthy? And then the next thing is, would you rather be wealthy or do you simply want to appear to be wealthy? Because those are two very, 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 very different things. And one of the hallmarks of the millionaire next door that I talked about at the beginning was simply that these are people who are not flashy. These are people who do not spend money on conspicuous consumption. They don't spend money on fancy clothes and handbags and flashy jewelry and flashy cars and houses that are too big. These are people that have an appreciation for how hard it is and how difficult it is to earn money, and the value of hard work, and therefore do not treat money frivolously and do not spend money frivolously. So it's getting right in our own heads and saying, okay, yes, I have an impulse to want to show everybody that I went to school with or that I hang out with that I'm doing great. Everybody that I play golf with, I want them to know that when I get out of my car, it's a fancy, nice car, and I'm looking like things are going great, and they see my watch, they see my shoes, and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, maybe, maybe not. Most of the really wealthy people I know could care less about that kind of thing. And that, to me, makes sense. But you need to make sense of this on your own. And just understanding the psychology that goes along with our thinking, because our thinking is what is driving all of our behavior. Our feeling goes into our brains and then influences our thinking, hopefully, and then we decide on a course of action. And the reality is that 95% of our daily thoughts are repetitive. That means we think about the same stuff over and over and over again. And of those, about 12% are comparison. So we're comparing ourselves. So 10% of the time, we're going through the same exercise, because if 95% of our thoughts are the same and 12% of those thoughts, of all of our thoughts, are comparing, when you boil it down, we're just thinking about the same stuff over and over again. And so I think that, like anything else, that once you become aware of our patterning and the way that our brains work, then there's the opportunity to change that. And that's what I advocate that we do. I advocate that you make the decisions on what you believe wealth to be. You make decisions on how a wealthy person behaves with money and allocates money and spends and saves and invests in all these things, because that is what the opportunity is. I don't want you to fall victim and fall into the trap of trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Kardashians and to do things just based on what your perceptions are and your concern about, or your thought on, what other people are going to think of you. Because this is stuff that you know, but we need to be reminded of that. that unless these people are paying your bills and investing in your 401k or your portfolio or whatever, then what they think of you is none of your business at all. And since they're not doing it, let's just jump ahead to that. What other people think of you is none of your business. It's none of your business. None of your business. So it benefits us to stop worrying about it. Time, attention, energy, money. These are our most valuable resources. Throw in your health, time freedom, our relationships. It all goes to these are the things that are most valuable in my life. And therefore, having more of these things makes me a wealthier person. So I think that these are the kinds of conversations that I advocate that you have. Define financial security. Define financial success. And then once you reach those two things, you can look around again and say, okay, I'm on the precipice, and I think I can reach levels of wealth that I never thought that I could. So those are some important conversations to have. The thing about financial planning is if you don't have any financials, it's tough to plan. But once you have financials, then there's a lot of opportunities to do planning. And to do planning that you maybe had never considered before. But these are all just different levels. And as you continue to step up, there's different concerns, different considerations. But fundamentally, to get what you want in life, whatever arena of life that we're talking, requires a sacrifice, it requires an investment, and it will require that you go without. But knowing that you're going without for your future self, it's not just for the sake of going without. I'm not cutting spending just for the sake of cutting spending. I'm cutting my spending, or I'm making different choices based on getting the life that I truly want because I've spent time thinking about it. That's what we're talking about, being intentional with our money and understanding why it is that we're doing what we're doing. Further reminder, never going to be anybody more interested in your success than you are, brothers and sisters. So act accordingly.